Hello, Royals fans, and welcome to another edition of Inside Athletics. I'm Dave King, Director of Athletics. I want to welcome you to this week's podcast. We have two guests today. James is not a guest. We have James DeBoer, our Sports Information Director.
A regular guest.
Yeah. And a little bit after we cover the activities of the past week, we'll talk with Dom Porter, our new men's volleyball coach. So we welcome you to this week on what's been a very frigid week, no matter where you're listening to this podcast from, I would imagine, whether it be from the north or the south. But we have been able to keep fairly warm, and we've had a flurry of activities starting last week, and Thursday and Friday games basically had the weekend off. All the students reported back. Second semester got started here on Monday, and I'm sure the coaches and the kids were all glad to see everybody else coming back instead of running around trying to feed all these kids the whole time. And so we're underway, new classes, new invigoration on the part of the student body, I think. At least I always enjoyed the start of another semester, because no matter what you did the semester before, you always had a chance to redeem yourself and start over. So, and I always start off with great intentions. great intentions. So we won't go into what happened after that, but you can start all over and organize yourself and put everything on paper. And this is the way I'm going to do it. It's our job to try to figure out whether or not it happens that way. So anyway, we're underway second semester. We're excited about what's going on. And I'm going to ask James, first of all, to just recap what we've had. It's all been pretty much non-conference and closing that out and getting ready to go in a conference. So what do we have? It's only been men's and women's basketball. So give us a little rundown on what's been happening.
Well, yeah, that's the interesting part that you mentioned. It was the end of the non-conference schedules. The men just played their first conference game of the end of the season stretch, and they've played a couple conference games already, but they played Wednesday night at Randolph. But before that, it was all the non-conference games. So it's very interesting to see our teams try to, you know, work out the final kinks, or try to get some of their bench players a little more established, or et cetera, or even getting an injured player back on the floor and getting them back in
the
rotation.
Or getting rid of the rust that came over the
getting rid of the
delay.
Rust over Christmas, right. So there's a lot of weird things and interesting dynamics getting worked out, and now we're hitting the ODAC season. So we'll jump into that part later, but just the way that the week wrapped up for the men, they had an interesting stretch leading up to recording right now, because the game Wednesday, even though we lost at Randolph Wednesday night, I think they played a lot better than what they had in some of the previous games. So we played Virginia Lynchburg last week Friday, and we got the win in that one, but it was such a letdown of a win almost. We led by 20-some points in the game with like 9 minutes left, and then just kind of went flat the rest of the way. And the Dragons came all the way back, and they, you know, we still won, but it was just an 8-point win. And so after leading by 20-some points, down to 8 points, that's kind of a blah way to end a game. Not too exciting. Well, then Monday they come out and host Goucher, and it just seemed like the men were just never really going in that one the entire night. Very thankful that was a non-conference game, but just didn't play well and came out on the short end of a relatively close decision, but still on the short end of things. And So it's just kind of interesting games. And then the men went on the road and played at Randolph Wednesday night. Did give up an 11-point lead in that one. I'm not going to try to recap the last minute of the game because that might take the entire podcast.
Correct.
We ended up with the loss by 1 point. I talked with at least assistant coach Melvin Felix about it after the game. And he said, you know what, we don't feel terrible about it. You know, we're disappointed, but we played a lot better, and you know, sometimes things happen, and that's just the way it was. They had a tough foul called on them in the final seconds, and then had a chance at a full court pass with 1 second left, and playing in a weird gym, the Rad Center at Randolph, had a long pass bounce off a speaker in the ceiling. You know, what are you gonna do? You're playing in a weird gym with weird dimensions, and weird things happen. So they come out with a 1-point loss, disappointing to get a conference loss, but they played a lot better, and I think that was a big key for the men. And they'll say it. It's the ODAC. Anything could happen any night. We saw that with Bridgewater picking up a double-digit victory over number 15 Virginia Wesleyan. So anything can happen. So That's the interesting part for the men. We're just excited to see them get into the schedule. And I think one of their keys will be getting the bench a little more solidified. It's a lot of younger players who are still getting adjusted to the college game, and that'll be the biggest adjustment for the men's hoops.
I got
to
add one side note to the men's at home. Klein's Dairy has been with us for a number of years, and they give this special deal that if we score 79 or more points, everybody gets a free ice cream cone, and we give them a certificate, and they go out there and they have 4 days to redeem it. And so I realize this is going to be sound a little bit on the critical side of things, but I know the one night everybody was ready because we had 70 points with about 7 minutes to go, and we ended up with 78, and everybody sort of went home, and it hardly didn't matter that we had won. They didn't get any ice cream, and then the next night we lost a game that we probably should have won, and when we scored 79, you'd think the place went crazy. And so it's almost like the people care more about the ice cream than whether we win. So I don't mean to critique our fans, because we certainly want them to come out. We know what has happened to some other coaches at higher profile schools when they've critiqued their fans. So I'm not here to do that. It was just an interesting side note to hear everybody go crazy when we score the 79th point, almost seemingly not to care that, well, we lost a game. So anyway, I better get off of that one. You better go on to the women's
side. Move on to women's basketball. The women had a couple of interesting games as well. They played at Johns Hopkins last week, and we talked about that a little bit, and Coach Griff still talks about that around the office. He said, you know, there's just games where you just aren't playing well, and that was a game where they just didn't hit any shots outside of the paint. And they said, you're not going to win any game like that, and especially against a quality team. Then they came out and played Washington Adventist at home on Tuesday. Looked pretty solid in that one. It was a scrappy team they were playing against. They only had 7 healthy players, but still put up a really good fight before the women pulled out for the double-digit win. So it was nice to see our women get their offense back going, because that was a key for them after a couple of their games right before Christmas and then the Johns Hopkins game. The offense just wasn't really going too much, and so it's nice to see that get back into gear as they head into the conference schedule, which starts this weekend as well. But they head out to 2 road games before they come back home. So,
yeah, give us a little update on what's coming up for this weekend in case you're in the areas.
The women are at Roanoke, which is down in Salem, Saturday afternoon. You may see it listed as a different time, but it actually starts at 1 o'clock. The game was moved recently. So that game will start at 1 o'clock down in Salem. Next week, Wednesday, they're at Virginia Wesleyan. Over on the men's side, I do want to point this one out. We're hosting Hampton-Sydney Saturday. It's a night game. It has been listed at 2 o'clock, mistakenly, on the website. I think everywhere else it was 7 o'clock. It is a 7 o'clock evening game, so please don't come at 2 o'clock. I guess if you want to come early, you could probably beat the ticket takers and sit quietly in the gym for 5 hours until the game starts.
You can help me set up for the game.
There you go. That would you might even let them in free if they help you set up for the game. I won't speak for you.
It also the student activities group also is making a blackout.
Yep.
So if you're listening to this and you're planning to come to the game, please wear something. All black.
All black. And if you're a student, you can get a free black T-shirt if you get there right away. They'll be giving away 100 free T-shirts starting 6 o'clock to students. So that should be a really exciting game Saturday night at home. And then next week, we might as well plug this already, the men playing host to Bridgewater, always a big game. That's going to be an incredible matchup, I think, next Wednesday night for the men.
And we'll let all of you take care of it, because I'm at the NCAA convention that night, so I'll have to watch it online as well. James, thanks for the update. As I mentioned, everybody's getting into full swing, and what that does mean for us here is that we get almost all the teams in action. So besides the basketball going on right now, when everybody got back, and getting started this week, we started with men's volleyball, indoor track, and then next week baseball and softball are going to start too. So it is the more hectic time, because everybody wants to be inside. And I know if you're listening and you want to know why baseball and softball are starting in January, don't even go there. We'll discuss that at some other point. But one of the ones that does start, and one of the ones that is unique to ODAC, because they don't have it, and unique actually to this area, is for us to have our men's volleyball team. And I'm joined at this point by our new coach, Dom Porter. Dom was a player here, and I'm going to ask him in just a minute sort of how he got here. It's an interesting, fascinating story, because I think he came about the same time I did, or he might have been here a little bit before. And then we'll take a look at what the team looks like and how we're doing that. We're just really glad to have him on board. He assisted here for a while. He's played overseas for a while, so we'll do that. So let's begin, Dom. First of all, thanks for joining me today.
Thanks for having me.
Give me just a little bit of how you got got here and what your experience was like here.
So, interesting story. I actually came to MU to play baseball and run track. And while I was here, I realized that they had a volleyball team, so I decided to play. And that season, you know, I didn't see any floor time. They let me be a practice player. But that team was, you know, so good that they got a bid to go to the Final Four. And I was proud and happy just to be a part of that team, to travel around and to be in the Final Four with them. So I stuck with volleyball. And it's funny, you know, every year I had a different coach while I was here. And I think about the time you came, I was a sophomore. And we had had an interim coach, and we did well. And then the following year, we got another coach, and we did seemingly well, too. We made it to two runner-up events before the Final Four. And after college, I decided to start working. And then I decided to see if, you know, if I had the skills to go overseas and play volleyball. And I had a lot of positive influence from EMU, especially athletics department. A lot of people saying that I could do it. So I spent some money to go overseas and try it out a couple times in a couple countries. And I finally got into a team in Germany. And while I was there, I had a good experience. I kept in contact with people at EMU. And it was one of the things when I came back, you was one of them, Dave. You allowed me to, you know, volunteer and help assist the team while I was here on campus and be a practice player just to be around the athletes. So I appreciate that. And I just kept me involved in EMU while I was still playing volleyball. And about 2011, I had got a call from the assistant coach at the USA national team to come out to Anaheim, California. And I think they were looking for me through EMU. And through EMU, they contacted me and said, hey, the national team's looking for you. Would you like to go out and train? So I dropped everything I was doing and I went out west. And I'm not going to say I would do it now because I work for you now, but.
Well, tell me a little bit about you went from not even intending to play at college. I'm assuming you played a little bit in high school.
I played 1 year in high school.
Okay. So then you come here and you end up both on the professional circuit in Germany, but also playing with the national team. It doesn't make any difference. You trained with them. So whether you were a quote member and on the roster and all that is important. Clearly you were able to play at that level. Does it surprise you that you made it that far when you come in here looking at baseball and track and all of a sudden you're playing professional volleyball?
Yeah, I never saw myself playing professional volleyball while I was a player at EMU. The biggest thing while I was at EMU was to finish school. You know, I see it as a BOGO plan, buy one, get one. I'm paying for a degree, so I might as well play a sport. And so that's how I tell my guys, too. But I never really thought about it till after college, and I wanted to see if I could play at the next level. And athletically, I was able to. But while I was in school, I was mainly focused on academics first, volleyball second, and it still worked out.
So when you think about that, you're moving into your first year, just had your first practice, official practice.
Yeah.
I know you did some non-traditional stuff,
first
practice. Talk a little bit about how did the professional experience and the national team experience, because that's clearly at a different level. I don't know how you feel about these guys, whether any of them can make it. That's not the point of why we play, but what are you going to bring from those experiences? Does it apply? Do the things that you experienced there, how might they apply to what you're going to be try to do with the team this year?
So first, I always tell people, every team plays volleyball the same way. It's whoever makes the least mistakes come game night. So the way I approach practice is a way that we can capitalize and get the most reps in a drill, because ultimately you get better the more reps you have. Everybody plays the sport. There's no trick plays. It's not a secret. You know, it's three positions the ball, four positions the ball can be set to. So we just have to, it's reps, and it's the practice has to be structured in phases, and that's how I do my practices. We start with a small phase, and it moves to a bigger phase. The small phase could just be passing to the left. The second phase would be passing to the left. Now you're hitting, and now there's a block, and then it keeps building up. And so that's the instruction that I got when I played overseas. I implemented in my practices now, and it works because you almost take baby steps. They're men, but you take baby steps to build yourself up to a game situation.
Well, let's talk just a little bit about this year's team. You were a part of the program as a volunteer assistant, I believe, or assistant last year. And as many of you know that are listening, we ran into some unfortunate situations with the coach that was here and needed to leave his position here, which always leaves some uncertainty as to who's coming and where the recruiting process is, because all of that came down in the spring of the year. And so just talk a little bit about who you have coming in. I know we got one or two, we got at least one transfer. And so you started at a time when you really couldn't do a whole lot. So what do we got in store?
Well, the first thing is we've been blessed to get two freshman setters. Oh. Anybody who plays volleyball knows you need a quarterback. And we've been blessed to have two freshman setters. We had four freshmen come in from Richmond, And we have a transfer that came from a Division II school down in North Carolina, and he actually was Player of the Year in Division II. So we are extremely blessed to have these individuals here, and it makes it a little bit easier for me my first year. Now, recruiting-wise, my goal is to get the roster to about 16 to possibly 18, but 16 is my first goal. And from there, we'll make a core unit that can play. And as of now, I've had send me emails confirming that they were coming to EMU, and we look forward to having them. I'm not sure if I can say their names, and I don't have
but
I didn't think so. So, yeah, see, I'm still learning the rules. That's how you know I'm a new coach, right?
Yeah, right.
So, yeah, but everybody in the office, you know, they're taking time with me, and every time I ask a question, they don't look at me funny. They just, you know, guide me along the way, and that's all I need right now. So,
well, I will say, and I've said this to you before, but I need to say it publicly as well. I just, when people ask me about it, I'm extremely pleased that you've agreed to come and join us, and I think one of the big telling points is you're open to learn every time. You stop my office often to ask a question. You want to learn. You want to get better at it, and certainly you've got some ways to go. I think you're a little bit distant from it. You're not right next to them, but you're certainly young coaches always are can sometimes struggle, I should say, with that whole relationship piece. You've got yourself an assistant coach. Just talk maybe a little bit more about how you see you played in the what used to be the NECVA. I mean, you played in the NECVA, so you're playing some of the same teams that's the Continental Volleyball Conference now, CVC. I see we're picked about sixth. What do you know about the competition, and what do you see coming out? What are the goals that you have set for them regarding where they're going to end up?
Well, now Division III has over 50 teams, so we do have a Division III championship now, so that's good. Yep. One of the things that's, you know, extremely unique for EMU is that we're in one of the toughest conferences in the country. I think last year, four of the top 10 teams are in our conference. So we do have a ways to go to get to that level, but I think we will. And I think as, you know, more schools pick up volleyball, it enables us to attract better players as we're one of the top tier now that we're ranked sixth in the CVC. I do think that, I mean, I don't know how much I can talk about this, about the future of the CVC, but I do think that it's going to change a little bit and that we're going to try to actually stick with it and, you know, have teams that's closer to us stay with us also. Yeah. Because as of now, we travel out west to play, and we have crossover tournaments, and it gets kind of, you know, how can
we are growing. We're the CVC added three teams this year, I believe.
Oh, yeah. Three teams
this year, and at least one of them are close to us in Marymount starting. And so there is some conversation about where we end up going here in terms of what happens with the CVC. Mm-hmm. We've agreed to be a part of it for, I think, two more years, and then we'll see. But you're absolutely right. Yeah. I mean, right now, Juniata, Carthage, Teal, the whole nine yards. And it's a big jump up, I would believe, from where some of these guys have played in high school. Now, Q coming in as a transfer has probably played at some other levels, but it is a step up. And so I'd be sort of you were with the team a little bit last year. How do you compare what's been happening now with when you were playing? Is there a lot of difference or not? Is it pretty much the same?
Well, when I played, I think it was more certainty with the division we were in, because we had our conference was, you know, we had to go up to New York State to play people. I mean, we had our Western division was consisted of EMU and then the U of L, Madai, teams in North upstate New York. And so having these teams closer enabled us to have this closer unit. And I think, and like you say, the future of the CBC, I think we'll be able to stay together. And that's my goal, and I hope that happens also because we're so close, Juniata, even Till being right there also, we can have our own if something was to happen.
Well, and the other thing that's happened this year with the schedule, if any of you listened last year and remembered that they had most of the conference stuff was done on a weekend tournament, and now we're doing a lot more home and home, and so therefore we are able to get more home games, actually, and that always excites the crowd and gets people there. So we're going to keep on pushing to try to get other ODAC schools to start, other schools in the East Coast here to see where that comes from. But, well, we, you know, we've already talked about where the team is going and what the goals are. Once again, I want to thank you for your willingness to come and to work with it. And I think what you do bring from, certainly they're going to respect the skill development, the skill level that you have. It's a goal that whether they want to get, certainly they can get better.
Of course.
Because you got you got better as you were here. And it's a good example of where you can end up.
Yeah, it's just being positive on the court. You know, it's one thing to be negative towards somebody and scream at them all the time. And you can do that when it comes to effort. But some people need to be encouraged, especially the ones who aren't as good as some on the team. They just need to be around it long enough and just find that one thing that they're good at. And when you
now,
do.
I've never asked a coach this in public, but I'm going to do it to you right now, and that is the fact that I've always interested to see what kind of a bench coach do you think you're going to be? Are you going to be talking all the time, yelling at them? Is the
so
game?
So they put me on the spot.
I'm going to put you on the spot. I just, you know, just to. Well, I think people are interested in just knowing what's the, you know, and how does that apply to volleyball?
Right.
I mean, there are some coaches on the sideline that are screaming positively all the time, but just talking, and then other people sit back and say, you know what, the game is the icing on the cake. We do all our hard work in practice. I'm going to sit here and not don't coach,
right.
But just so first time as a head coach on a bench, what's it going to be like?
So I will say, you know, people you seeing Dom joking and laughing and talking in the office, I think you might see me a little bit more timid, not timid, just more of a anxious kind of thing, because I'm not on the court now, so I have to rely on them to get the point. I can't go out there and do it.
Right.
So I'm going to have to contain myself a little bit, especially because I know how good they are. But, you know, and volleyball is a funny sport, you know, so setters don't come out. That's just how it is. Quarterbacks don't come out the game. I mean, Tom Brady will stay in the game to the last 10 seconds, and that's how it is. And the best have to play if we want to win. I think our goal is to be successful and to win. I mean, that's why we put on jerseys. That's why we pay for refs. That's why we keep score. If we don't do that, then it's one goal in mind, so.
No, one of the challenges I've always said is that one of the, quote, I don't want to say worst, but one of the more difficult positions or to have on a team is to be a backup setter.
Oh, yeah.
Because you do never get in. And it's the same with everything else. So that's going to be, of course, and we've talked about this before, how do you keep those kids motivated?
Right.
Because they got to be a part of it, and yet they're not going to see the court. So, well, thanks for joining us.
Oh,
we certainly look forward to what's going to happen with the men's volleyball. So start to look at that next week on the 18th. They have their alumni match, and that's always great because we get a lot of guys coming back. And then on the 25th, the following week, we have two home games as well. So pay attention. All the schedules are out. The write-up just went up about where we're going to end up where we're picked in the CVC. And make sure you keep paying attention because we are now jumping into what I call high gear in January and February. Thanks for joining us this week. And until we talk next week, I invite you to make it a great week.